Hey there, Hoops fans. How you doing? It's your boy, Jonathan Macri, with you on a Friday. I'm so happy it's Friday. This week has been the longest fucking week of my life. But a good week, a good long week. Some long weeks are not good. Some long weeks are good. This is a good one. It was just insane. And it's Friday, and I can't wait to have an alcoholic beverage at some point in the not-too-distant future. Welcome to another episode of NBA Takedown. I should probably say the name of the show at the top. Thank you for all your support already, for following on social media at NBA Takedown or NBA Takedown Pod on Twitter, for joining the YouTube, following the YouTube, putting the YouTube on notifications, subscribing to the pod where you get your pods, all that stuff. If you haven't done that stuff, please go do it. Support the show. We are a growing product here, and we want to keep growing, so we need your support to do that. I am here with my guy, my man, who is just he's my stabilization, and that is Jeff J. Hello, Jeff. How are you,
my man? How you doing, man? I'm doing well. Ready for the weekend. This has been a, like you said, this week has been a lot, but it's been good.
A lot.
So I'm good to go, ready to rock.
It's, you know, I'm not gonna lie. When you're, see, this is the thing about sports. We all know, as intelligent human beings in touch with our emotions, that sports should not have the impact that they have on our general day-to-day well-being. We know this in our heads. We know this. Doesn't matter. The fact that I am going, like, I ended this week and the Knicks won on Wednesday, and it was a good win. It was a resounding win, and we get the days off. It's like, yeah, like, shit was crazy, but like, everything's fine because the Knicks are on a winning streak. It's fine.
Exactly. And the fact that there wasn't a game today or leading up after that win, it's been like a lull. I feel like there's been two separate lulls when you talk about the Knicks season. After that three-game losing streak, there was a lull to regroup and commiserate and check the temperature of the fan base and see what the hell was going on. And then after the three-game winning streak, it's like a moment of celebration. Pause period of celebration for what's going on. And it was weird because I feel like there was only one game on last night.
I was so... Can we talk about this for one second?
The NBA Cup, I guess.
It is because... Yes, that is the reason that we were given. That tonight's the NBA Cup night, right? And therefore, it was one game last night. I don't care. I don't care. You're a league with 30 teams in it. I should not be left sitting... And you know what? If it was a marquee game, that would be fine. I sat down and again, crazy day, so I didn't get a chance to tune into the game until late in the second quarter. I'm like, okay, Clippers Suns, that's fine. We got Jalen Green's debut, but no Kawhi, no James Harden. Like, I'm watching. I mean, and look, it's still NBA basketball. I'm not trying to come off like I'm complaining, but like, one game and that's the game I got to watch.
Right, exactly. They're going to have to find ways in the future to stagger the cup matchups. Because I get that you want to have a majority of the league activated during cup night because of the sponsors, because of the prestige. But even similar to soccer, there will be days where certain teams are playing and that's the only game in town for whatever respective tournaments that they're playing, and whether it's domestic or international, but the next day it's business as usual. Maybe there's 2 days cup action back to back, and then they get back to their league play. So I think the league is finding their footing in how they want to present it, but that's definitely an issue. It feels like that was a kick the can issue. You know, all right, we're going to have one game on. We'll figure it out next year. But for now, we're going to stack the Tuesdays and Fridays.
I'm sorry to keep pushing back on this, but like, yeah, kick the can. You know how many years they've been kicking this can? How many years we've had nights? I understand the cup is a relatively new thing, right?
Oh, you're talking about just in general.
In general.
Oh, yeah.
How many years
have
we had nights where it's like one game or two games and they're not great games? It's like, you know, it's annoying, but whatever. It is what it is. I'm not going to bitch and moan about it the whole time because we have a fun show to get to today. A slightly abbreviated show where it's only a 45-minute edition. So obviously it was great that we just wasted 7 minutes on me. We're doing five stats and five questions. Concept that I'm looking forward to, again, becoming a regular thing. We're finding our footing here, figuring out what bits work, what bits don't. I'm high on this one, though, because I came up with five stats. And I'm high on this because I found the stats and I get to put Jeff in the hot seat. And I'm going to throw the stats out. Jeff is going to try to guess what the what who or what team the stat describes. And then we're going to ask a burning question about the player or team that comes up. And we're just going to get into it because I think it's fun and we're going to have some fun with it. Jeff, are you ready?
I am.
Okay.
Let's go.
I don't know, frankly, how hard these are going to be because it comes down to, are you someone that like pours over early season stats or are you someone that just like, it's like, whatever. I don't know. Wake me on Christmas and I'll pay attention. That's that. So we'll see. We're going to get going. Stat number one.
All right.
Through seven games, this player is averaging 31.1 points, sixth in the league, 9.3 assists, fourth in the league, and 5.1 rebounds. He is only one of two players averaging at least 30 points and 9 assists, the other of which is Luka Doncic. Do you care to guess who the player is? And I have a hint ready for you if you need.
Cade Cunningham, final answer.
Cade Cunningham is a good guess.
Oh! Does he fall on the point? I feel like he's a little under 30, right?
The points are not there. Mm. I will give you the hint. I have two hints for each player. I'll give you the first hint. We discussed this player recently on the show in the context of his impending salary for maybe next season.
That's a good one. Oh God, I gotta think back. All right, what's the second hint?
He plays for a very notable NBA team in a very notable NBA city.
It's Doncic? No,
he plays with Doncic.
Right. Austin Reeves?
Austin Reeves is currently averaging, I will say again, 31 points and 9 assists and 5 rebounds. So this is the first stat that I wanted, right? That looks said it all, Jeff.
Look, they said the Snowtime Lakers were a thing. You better get it with it or get out of laydown. Jake LaRavia is in a big three right now.
Don't forget about Dalton Connect.
Right. the Snowtime Lakers are connecting on the league right now.
What happens when LeBron brings the autobiography of Malcolm X into this locker room? Is it going to have the same pop?
Some might have already read it.
Some may have already read it.
If there's a pop quiz, LeBron might be shaking. He might be shaking.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Austin Reeves sidle up to LeBron. Hey, LeBron, I'm starting a book club. What do you think? You want to join? Let's go.
Right. The first book, you've read it already, but get your insight. Autobiography of Malcolm X.
Oh God, what are we doing here? So here's my related question, and it's a simple one. Are the Lakers the most interesting team in the NBA? They are 7-2, which is a little deceiving. They're only 13th in net rating. It's because their defense is not very good. They're 18th in defense, but they're 5th in offense. Their starting lineup has four. So here's what, there's a lot of reasons this is interesting. Obviously LeBron James has not played a minute of basketball. But you remember before the season, some of the talk is like, yeah, Austin Reeves is really good, but does it make the most sense for him to start or come off the bench? I kind of think that toothpaste is already out of the tube because you're not going to send the guy who's putting up 31-9 back to the bench. So the starting lineup, you would think once LeBron comes back, will be LeBron, Luka, Reeves, Ayton, and Rui, who's playing great ball. And then you got Smart, LaRavia, Hayes, Dalton Connect, and Jared Vanderbilt off the bench. Like, in theory, isn't this like the best big three in the NBA? And they're already 7-2. And like, we should be talking, like, this should be all anticipation for, oh my God, they're getting the second greatest player of all time. And he's going to be, you know, refreshed the whole thing. And yet, we know what the offseason was. And we know LeBron maybe wasn't happy. So I'm like, I think they're the most interesting team in the NBA.
I'm trying to think right now if there's anybody that I would consider more interesting. Don't think, you know what? Pound for pound, I'd say that's a great answer. That's a solid answer. I don't think it's too disputable when you put it in that context because remember when we had the conversation? We've had this conversation across multiple platforms. When we were doing our rankings for the top 25 Knicks of the 21st century.
Yes.
And we had the Jeremy Lin discussion where we mentioned, myself and Sean mentioned how it was blasphemous and downright disrespectful to ask how will Carmelo blend in with Jeremy Lin? Like, how will they coexist? There may be legitimate questions about how LeBron reintegrates into this team now. Not even from the perspective of, can he be additive to the team? The answer is yes. LeBron can mold himself to whatever system he is because he's a system unto himself, and he can also enhance and augment whatever system. But now it's prioritization. How focal is he going to be now in the offense, which could be equally wild to ask, but I think that part of it is interesting enough for me to carry. Because then the other team I was thinking about was the Mavs.
Well, they're interesting for different reasons,
this right? In terms of interesting, celebratory, and intriguing, I like that Laker pick.
You brought up two great points. One, I'm happy you mentioned Jeremy Lin because speaking of takes, Kenny Smith got on the desk a couple, whatever it was, last week and uttered the name Jeremy Lin in comparison to Austin Reeves. And he was met, I thought defensively, with significant pushback because they're like, Jeremy Lin was a guy who was sleeping on someone's couch and he had been like cut and like was a nobody. Austin Reeves, I don't know what his stats were last year, but Austin Reeves was really good last year. Like he has time under, he's been good for a few years.
He didn't sneak up on the league.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, quote unquote.
Exactly. It wasn't this, but he was really good. But at the same time, the context that you just put it in, which is like, hold on, we're asking how LeBron James is supposed to adjust to Austin Reeves, which is similar to the how is Carmelo Anthony. That's the main similarity, in my opinion.
Everything else was like a moment in time that you're never going to recreate.
From a purely basketball perspective, you would think that arguably the most skilled the most skilled athlete of the 21st century can step into this team with, by the way, the two other guys in Reeves and Doncic who are incredibly skilled because what can they both do? They can both shoot it and they can both pass it. So you would think that this should be basketball nirvana. It's like LeBron is going to be but this is where it gets dangerous. I was going to say he could just step in immediately and be the greatest role player in the league today, in the history of the league. But then I just use the word role player and LeBron James in the same sentence and people are going to come at me and be like, you're a fucking moron. So that's where the tension lies. And that's why they're interesting.
That's why they're the most interesting team in the league.
Yeah. We should say for anybody who may have missed the news, he is ramping up. Everybody's favorite term, ramping up. When is he going to be back? We'll see. I know that.
When do they play the Knicks? Because if MSG, he'll be back before February. Because if it was on the schedule.
Jeff, it's not even a joke anymore. It's not even
this is decades clockwork in the making, by the way.
Tyler Hero's making his return. What, November 17th? We're looking ahead that far.
That's but even still yeah. The Knicks on the schedule. It's not even an MSG thing, y'all. It's like, you go back to the years of when a player has returned from injury and who they've returned from. I need somebody who dives into obscure NBA history to go into the history of major players and stars who have made their return against New York. And it's even funnier now that there is two New York teams and they've aligned the schedule so that when teams are making their road trips, you go to Brooklyn and New York at the same time, at least one time in one of those road trips.
Yeah.
And they will play Brooklyn before New York or New York before Brooklyn. And Brooklyn will not see that player.
But it's like, look, I get it. If I was lucky enough to be a professional athlete and I had a chance to play in Madison Square Garden, like, I don't know how many times I'm going to get a chance to do that in my career.
Without a question.
Sorry, Brooklyn fans. No one gives a shit about playing at the Barclays Center. it was even funnier because Anthony Edwards, I saw, is questionable for, I think it's tonight's game, which is like he played in New York. Now watch, he misses this game tonight. I wouldn't be shocked at all. Okay, next stat. Here we go. This player has played 8 games. Mm-hmm. He is averaging 30.4 points per game, which is 8th in the league. He is attempting 9.9 threes per game, which is 6th in the league. He's hitting 35.4% of those threes, which is fine. Here's the best part. In 297 minutes when this player is on the court, his team has actually outscored their opponents by not very much, but by 10 points in total. It's a dead even net rating. In the 92 minutes that this player has sat, his team has been outscored by 42 total points, which works out to a negative 21.1 net rating. Do you want to offer a guess before I give you a clue?
What's the points per game?
Eighth in the league, 30.4 points per game. 9.9 3-point attempts per night.
9.9 3-point attempts. 30 points per game. Yeah, it's not a usual suspect. I know it's not a usual. What's the hint?
He plays for a team in the Western Conference that mm-hmm. was pegged to be very bad this year and is probably going to be very bad this year, but they've won some games early. Won a few games.
And you said he's played 8 games so far.
He's played in all of his team's games.
He's played in all of his team's games. Western that was projected.
Think about a place that has come up on some recent episodes of NBA Takedown as somewhere that certain NBA players maybe not wouldn't be thrilled about getting traded to for
LaVine
reasons. No, that's actually a guess. LaVine is putting up a lot of points, and I'm sure he's taking a lot of threes. The answer is Lauri Markkanen. LaVine was a good guess, actually, though. LaVine, the difference between LaVine and Markkanen is, it's funny, I actually looked up LaVine's on-off stats earlier today. They're not great. Markkanen not only is putting up the best stats of his career, but his team, the Jazz, who are not good, are actually respectable. Now, there are some other reasons why the Jazz are respectable when he's on the court. We're going to get to another one of them in a little bit. But my question related to this, and I don't know if it's something we have to spend a lot of time on because we've talked about some of these guys recently, is Lauri Markkanen the best realistic trade piece, best player that is a realistic trade piece in the NBA right now? I only wrote down three other names: Trae Young, Ja Morant, and I wrote down Zion just because the Pelicans stink and like they just drafted Jerry Queen and who the hell knows what's going on there. I guess this isn't maybe a fascinating question because I think it might be an obvious answer, but I think it's worth asking. It seems like he's by far the most obvious good player who is a trade candidate.
Would you consider Jaylen Brown unrealistic?
I would consider Jaylen Brown unrealistic because I feel like if that was a thing and was going to be a thing, we would have heard mm-hmm. something about it.
Right.
Far.
So, okay. I get what you're saying. Cause I could think of people, right. If we were talking next season, one of Spider or Mitchell, depending on what happens.
Wait, Spider or Garland, you mean?
You're right. Not both. Garland, yeah. Not both of them. Not one man's traded two times. You're right. Spider or Garland. Or Allen.
Or Allen. Allen's or good one. But that's it. Look, if we're doing after the season, we talk about
Cal. That's why I'm going through the progression right now.
Talk about
Booker,
LeBron.
No. Booker ain't trying to leave.
No, not this season. Not during the season.
Giannis ain't realistic for the regular season.
They're good. They're not. He's not going anywhere.
And LeBron is definitely unrealistic. Now,
I think there's been enough reporting out there already to kind of not confirm. Nothing's ever confirmed, but like to suggest that whatever is going to go on with LeBron is going to happen after the season. He makes mm-hmm. a lot of money. It's hard to move those salaries. You know, Markkanen is a guy.
I like that.
Yeah, he's been on the trade block for a few years. I guess the only other thing I would, and we'll talk about this more when we get to the deadline maybe, is like, again, I told you his numbers. The guy's versatile. You could play him at the five a little bit. You could play him at the three. You could play him at the four. You play him all over the place. Like, is he worth the Bridges Bane package? And I ask that knowing full well that Lauri Markkanen in this season is putting up numbers that like those neither of those guys can even approach. So that, you know, it's probably an obvious yes, but I, you know, you never know. I don't know. He should get moved, right? With where Utah is. And yet who's going to give up what Danny Ainge of all people is going
to do? That's what makes it unrealistic to me, because Danny Ainge has unrealistic expectations. He aims for the moon. And if you don't hit the moon, well, Jupiter's right around the corner.
For what you would have to give Ainge to get Markkanen, and we're not first people to talk about this, you would have to think that A, you are either a Laura Markkanen away from winning the championship this year, or B, feel like he is going to be a perfect fit for our core and we will be a contender for the next 5 or 4 years, whatever, 3, 4, 5 years, something like that.
Bridges and Bain pick money is the floor, for Markkanen.
And then you probably need a player too in there. I mean, Detroit's the team that constantly gets mentioned for Markkanen, and it makes sense because like they have the salary, they have the picks, they have some interesting young players. I just like, you know, that's where the rubber hits the road, because if you're Utah, you're going to ask for Asar Thompson, and if you're Detroit, you're probably going to be like, well, no, you know, but we'll see what happens there. Sure. Okay, stat number three. Here we go. This player has played in 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
He is averaging 22.4. He's played in all of his team's games, I should say. He's averaging 22.4 points. It's 32nd in the NBA. It's fine. He's averaging 9.9 rebounds, 15th in the NBA. That's pretty good. He's averaging 7.3 assists, 13th in the NBA. He's shooting 43% on threes, not high volume, but good volume. And in 257 minutes, this team that this guy plays for has 126 offensive rating, which would be ahead of the current first team place team in the league by a country mile. In the 89 minutes this player is off the court, his team has a 105.3 offensive rating, which is would be second to last in the league, would be ranked 29th. And there is a Grand Canyon-sized gap between the next closest guy in terms of the on-off for offensive ratings. It's like in terms of impact.
Eastern Conference?
He's a Western Conference player.
Okay. What was his points per game?
He is averaging 23, 10, and 7. 10 rebounds, 7 assists. A little bit more than 7 assists.
23, 10, and 7.
22, 10, and 7.
On 40% shooting on low, 43%
low volume,
3-point shooter. Low volume.
He is not known as a 3-point shooter. He operates close to the basket.
Sengun?
I should have gotten a bell, man. What can I ring? I don't know. I have nothing, man.
There it is. I'm glad I got one. Man.
That was really good. Because I did not think that was obvious. And just one more stat on Sengun. So the Rockets, for anybody who doesn't know, they have the best net rating in the NBA. They have the best offensive rating in the NBA. They are outscoring teams by 104 points in the minutes that Sengun has played. That is tied for Nikola Jokic for first in the NBA. So my question here is, Alperen Sengun a top three MVP guy right now? Not saying after the season, who the hell knows, it's a long season. But right now, if you had to list your top three most valuable players for the first, what's today, Friday? 16 days of the NBA season. Does Sengun have to be in the top three?
We're talking SGA.
So hold on. So these are the guys in the conversation.
SGA. In the conversation. That's why I say top three. SGA's in the conversation. Wemby's in the conversation.
Jokic is certainly in the
conversation. Always in the conversation. And Giannis is always in the conversation. Like them three are forever in the records and all of that give them credence as well.
I can't put, if you want to say Maxey, that's fine. We could say Tyrese Maxey. I don't
early,
know.
But it's like even what he's doing is interestingly enough and a little bit curious that it's type falling under the radar, because I feel like people don't believe in the Sixers like that yet. He's leading the league in scoring right now.
The guy we didn't mention.
Percentage points, but yes.
He's ahead of Luka?
He's ahead of all of them.
Last I checked. Because Luka has put up, is averaging 40 on the dot. Yeah, no, Maxey second.
I must have looked at something. Wait, hold on. Oh, I had it filtered. My bad.
Now, yeah. total points. Tyrese Maxey has the most total points in the league because Luka has missed 3 games, which is why Luka, I'm not putting in here now because he's missed 4 games out of his team time. So, and I think Maxey deserves to be in the conversation. I am putting Sengun ahead of Maxey. I got to tell you, man, I wouldn't have even thought for a I would have been like, no, that's fucking insane. But when you see the on-offs and then you see the total numbers that this guy is putting up, like 7.5 assists a game. And here's the thing, though. He hasn't been that efficient on twos. He's like hitting his threes, not hitting his twos. Giannis and Jokic to me have to be the top two right now. I put him ahead of Wemby, who has shown some chinks in the armor the last few games. I think it comes down to him and SGA. You want to give SGA the nod because he's defending champ and the Thunder have only lost one game and they beat, by the way, the Rockets in the opening night of the season. I think it's tight, man.
A tenth of the way into the season, I think you can put him down. I think you can put him down as being those that are on the cusp of it.
The fact that we're having this conversation about a guy who was a first-time All-Star last year and barely made the All-Star team, I think. Mm-hmm. It's impressive. I mean, already it's like the games played thing is going to matter a lot because you look at what the all-NBA conversation is shaping up to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, again, there are some years where Julius Randle could make second team all-NBA. I don't think this is going to be one of those years. No, no offense against Julius Randle.
It's going to be a tight race. If everybody remains healthy, the all-NBA race is going to be one of the tightest probably in years. There's going to be so many contenders.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to be, and it obviously the fact that so many teams as of right now are going for it, although we're going to get to a team that may not be going for it for much longer in a bit. Okay. Next up, if you get this one, man, if you get this one, I will be legitimately shocked. Okay. This player has played 8 games, of his team's games. He's averaging 22.6 points. One spot ahead of Saint-Jude, 31st in the league. 7.9 assists, 9th in the league. And 9.3 free throw attempts per game. That is 8th in the league, and he is hitting his free throws at a 90.5% clip. Jeff, I'll give you 3 hints, and I don't know if you're getting this one.
Give me the points, assists, and free throws again.
22.5 and 8, and then 9.3 free throw attempts per game. I'll give you 2 hints.
Norm Powell.
That's a really good. I don't know that. You know why it's not a good guess?
Fact that you're like, you said, I know it's not.
I was like, free throws? I think Norm hits his free throws, gets to the line a lot. Points, sure. I don't know that Norm has had 9 assists.
He hasn't been passive.
Yeah, didn't he have a 50 piece without an assist in his career? I think so. So it's not him. He is a guard though. Traditional combo guard, point guard.
Okay.
And he plays he is a second year player who plays for a Western Conference team.
Oh shoot. I was about to jump out the window and say Ryan Rollins, but no.
Ryan Rollins would be a really good guess.
He doesn't have the point. He's a second year player, second year guard. Oh, no, that's not.
No, sorry. Oh my God. I screwed up. He's a third year guard. You know what? Okay. That's how anonymous this team is and how much they are out of sight, out of mind. He's a third year guard. That's my bad.
Okay. Let me look at my standings in the West so I can remember all the teams.
I mean, I can give it away with guard, one more hint.
Third year guard. Ooh. No. Is he on Portland?
No, he's who would be the third
year guard? Okay, because I know it ain't who
Scoot is. Scoot hasn't played yet, so it's not him. I'll give you the hint that should give it away. He plays for a team that we just talked about recently. In this podcast. Might be the reason why they don't want to trade for Ja Morant. Not that they're going to trade for Ja Morant, but they wouldn't trade for Ja Morant. It's Keontae George. Again.
On the
Utah Jazz.
Keontae George? I wouldn't have got that.
Just got talked about on the Low Post podcast with Zach and Howard Beck, which is what prompted me to go because they offhandedly were like, yeah, Keontae George having a really good year. So I went and looked. I'm like, holy crap. 22-8 or 22-7. Like we watched Keontae George the last few years, and he was like the prototypical. But he's solid now. But when you watch him the last few years, like, this guy's not a winning ball player. Now, the Jazz are still not very good. And again, I gave you the on-off numbers for Markkanen, and Keontae George's on-off numbers are not quite as good. But I bring up him to get to this question. And of course, I realize I forgot to include the odds. I'm going to get them up in a second. Will this wind up being the best, most improved player race that we have seen in recent NBA memory? And look at me, I got it right here. So if you're watching on YouTube, I have the current most improved player odds. Now, Keontae George is the guy I just mentioned. He is 20-1, and he is currently 7th in the odds, or tied for 6th in the odds, I should say. The players ahead of him: Josh Giddey, the runaway favorite, +325. We all know what Josh Giddey's doing. We've been talking about it on the show. Denny Avdija, he is looking like an all-star for the Portland Trailblazers. Your guy, Ryan Rollins, who I know you're high on, and as you should be, +1,400. The guy was freaking waived by the Wizards a year ago, and now he's starting point guard. Might be the reason Giannis stays in Milwaukee. Amen Thompson, who was, I think, the odds-on favorite going into the year. Mm-hmm. Matas Buzaias. Matt, I was screw up his first name. The guy in the Bulls having a good start to the season, +1,800. And then our guy, Austin Reeves, who we just talked about. He's a +1,800. Other guys in the running: Benedict Mathurin, AJ Mitchell, who is killing it for the Thunder. The other George, Kyshawn George from the Wizards.
Yeah.
The other Thompson, Asar Thompson, on the Pistons. And then Jaime Jaquez Jr., who fun stat for Jaime Jaquez Jr. I said, since June and Jokic are currently tied atop the league at total plus minus, Jaime Jaquez Jr. third total plus minus in the league.
I believe it.
Go figure. So, I don't know, man. It's a pretty stacked race.
I wonder what Wemby's odds are.
He's not even listed right. I think because he was I don't know if this is an award. I think the voters are a little bit too savvy that they're not going to give it to a guy who just will like qualify for NBA awards because he plays more games, but he was like really good. Wemby wasn't this yet last year, but is he improving that much?
I feel like if he's in the top three for MVP, someone's going to be horny to give him the MIP. I see it to try to clean up MVP, MIP, DPOY, and give him the trifecta. Like I can see it. I can see a narrative forming. I do think that I agree with you. This is probably one of the most fascinating, for a change, one of the most fascinating MIP awards races we have brewing. And if these players stay at the clip that they're going, like Denny Avdija at 9-1.
So
dude, that's a fantastic bet. He is balling out of control right now.
I agree with you that it's a fantastic bet because nobody gave a shit about the Portland Trailblazers last year, and they're winning games and they're near the top of the West and they just knocked off the Thunder and he's the best player on the team.
They got the narrative too.
But see, that's the thing. If you actually watched the Blazers last year, Avdija was freaking awesome.
True.
He's gotten better, but has he improved as much as a guy? I mean, the guy on this list that I'm looking at where I'm like, this guy has improved the most, I think it has to be Ryan Rollins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without question. Because it's not as if Giddey's skill came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
he was getting triple-doubles for years.
Here's how Giddey wins. You know how Giddey wins it? Here's how he wins it. It's the Julius Randle win. It is
All-Star.
It's All-Star. It's All-NBA. And he and the Bulls get to fourth or fifth in the East. I think sure. that
I think if he gets All-Star, if he's a that's usually it's one of the qualifiers for MIP. If Jeff, you come out of nowhere and get an All-Star nod, you're in the lead. Like six of the last 10
it's first time All-Stars. It's guys mm-hmm. who were like, this guy was a nice player. This guy was a really nice good player, but now they're an All-Star team and like they're getting some MVP votes. So
sure.
It's probably going to go. Well, that's look at Giddey's odds. Like, and Avdija, they're both going to be first time All-Stars. So Ryan doesn't. But again, the fact that George, you know, is having the putting up the numbers he's putting up and doesn't even really have a chance is. Oh, look, Andrew Claudio's in the chat. Hi, Andrew. What's going on, buddy? And shout out to JG. He's blowing up the chat. He says MIP is going to be Josh Giddey. He has the name recognition and being the leader of the team. Yeah, when you're the number one guy and your team made a leap and your numbers made a leap and your first time All-Star, it's like he checks all the boxes. So it's probably
that's the formula.
All right. Last question. This is a team question.
Okay.
This team is, and it's not a happy team. One might say, Jeff, it's an unhappy team. This team has played 9 games.
Okay.
They have a -5.8 net rating, which is 25th in the league. They are ranked 26th in offense and 23rd in defense, which fancy way of saying they don't really do anything well. Actually, they pass the ball well. They have a great assist rate, but that's not really helpful when you're the third worst shooting team in the league, which they are. They have 2 players on max contracts. Those 2 players are both near the bottom of the league in terms of total plus minus. One of them is -55 in 258 minutes, which is last on his team. The other one is -42 in 240 minutes, which is near last on his team. And when there are 2 max players to get play together, and these are 2 max guys who have had a lot of success together in the past, they are -9.1 points per 100 possessions. Would you like to guess the team?
Is it the Orlando Magic?
That's a good... solid.
I don't think they're that bad, but
yes, they're not that bad. That's the thing, is they're not that bad. And
I don't think
either Paolo or Franz have those bad individual on off numbers.
Oh shit. The Grizzlies.
Congratulations.
They're 3-5, I think.
Three and six.
Damn, I gave y'all one less loss. I try to hold you down, Orlando. I apologize. No, they're 3-5.
The Grizzlies are 3-6. The Magic.
Oh, apologies. Yeah. All right, we cross streams for a second. I was like, yeah, they're 3-5, but I can't be that. That's why I had to put the solid question mark at the end. But yeah, I was like, 2 max. Holy shit! Yeah, it's the Memphis Grizzlies,
including 1 max contract in Jaren Jackson Jr. that has not kicked in yet. It kicks in next season. So my question, our last question of the day. Are the Grizzlies the most obvious blow it up team in the NBA? Some context. Not only do they have their own pick this year, but it's I would say if I wanted to drive people to drink in the middle of the day, I would put up the actual language of the pick protections involved in the second pick. But in short, they are probably going to get the Suns pick unless the Suns leapfrog the Wizards in the lottery, in which case the Grizzlies would get the Wizards pick in addition to their own pick. So they have stuff coming in the draft. They just drafted the kid who, of course, I'm blanking on his name now, but the Coward kid who looks really good because all the Grizzlies do is draft guys who come in immediately and produce. Maybe give or take a Zach Edey, but for the most part, they draft good players. Edey's good, but I don't know why he was taken where he was. And so like they have young players, they have all the picks coming from the Bane trade. They have all of their own picks. And like, look, we did the whole jaw trade thing. It came up again a little bit on Wednesday show with Dex and Sean. So we don't have to do that whole thing again, but like they would get something for Ja. They get something good. I know they would get something good for Jaren Jackson Jr. even with his contract. And the fact that he's not always the most durable guy in the world. But before you jump and say this is an obvious yes, like the Mavericks exist, you know, we could talk about a few other teams, but like I do think there are at least some other teams that are in the conversation. I think I would give them the cake, though.
So this has probably been the Sacramento Kings Emeritus Award for should you blow it up, but they have been on there will they won't they with blowing it up for a minute. I feel like they want to tread water, like they want to be competitive and try to run multiple timelines at once, but eventually that's going to catch up to them. I mean, they're bouncing back. Like I feel like they're going to be in the mix, but at what point do you have to take definitive direction? Is that going to work? Well, what is your goals? There's so many different questions that you can ask.
The Kings have been taking a definitive direction for the better part of 20 years. It's just not a direction.
It's not the direction you want to go, right?
No, exactly.
And there should be more spotlight given on the fact that they have been coasting for 2+ decades and just been hovering around all right.
Exactly. But
I, given when you discuss the picks and what you have coming in and your how far you're under your salary cap, how much money you have under the cap, your financial flexibility, your pick flexibility, I feel like, yeah, I could definitely see the Grizzlies as one of those teams. And I would say the Mavs, if for no other reason, that team falls into and manipulates luck for themselves in a way I haven't seen any other team do it. I mean,
you tank your pick
that very was supposed to go to New York and end up with Derek Lively. Then you trade Luka Doncic, and your consequence for that is Cooper Flagg as the number one overall pick. At this point, you might as well just shoot for the moon and get rid of Kyrie, get rid of AD. Who knows? You might end up with Wemby in 3 years. The way their karma operates, their karma is disabled. Someone went into 2K and disabled karma for that team. So if you go by that, it doesn't matter what they have in the coffers. It doesn't matter what they have with draft picks, because somehow, some way, they are going to stumble into great players and be right back at it. So if you want to eliminate the luck factor and the manipulation factor of it all, then yeah, I'd go with Memphis. But at this point with the Mavs, I feel like they can make something happen, because they just seem to.
You know who the Mavs are? The Mavs are Kramer from Seinfeld.
Oh my God.
They just go about their day like an utter buffoon and fall, as Jerry would say, fall ass backwards into good luck, money, women. That's the Mavs. That's the mess. Congratulations, Nico Harrison. You are Kramer. So I think I would still go with the Grizzlies. Other contenders I just want to bring up before we get out of here, the Pelicans. But again, blowing it up for the Pelicans basically means trading Zion. And there was a report or a soundbite today, I think, from the Hoop Collective saying Zion's trade market ain't that hot anyway. And then the only other one that I would say, oh, shout out to Dex. Dex is in the chat. What's going on, Dex?
That is so crazy. Zion's trade market is not
Wow. And speaking of potentially non-existent trade markets for many reasons, the Clippers should at least be brought up in this conversation, provided they would be able to get stuff, semi-real stuff, for I'll say either Kawhi or James Harden. And yet I don't know, like, Kawhi is
them. You better have them endorsement deals lined up. You trying to trade with any Clippers player?
Does your city have adult establishments? Well, then James Harden is a trade candidate for you.
On deck, on deck, on deck.
Does your
listen, man? Y'all better have something. Y'all better have something environmentally conscious that folks can make some bread off of. You trying to trade for Gazelle, I guess, you know, like,
does your city have trees?
Right. If you have trees, maybe. But I seriously, I feel like the Clippers are going into the year as like one of those Expendables teams.
They're
the Expendables. Yeah. They're the Expendables, and they're going to see what they can do. And then next year, their offseason is going to be fascinating. Given everything.
Yes.
Their offseason is going to be fascinating.
They're the Expendables, unfortunately. Bradley Beal out there looking like Arnold in the last Terminator movie.
I knew you were going to say Arnold. So what for Arnold was like, yo, I'm not doing stunts. I will not do stunts. I have no more back. My knees are gone.
Bradley Beal also not doing stunts. Has no knees.
Oh no, not Brad.
Dude, he went 2 for 16 last night.
Man.
It was not what you wanted. Okay. Well, that's great. Real quick, JG says in the chat, can the Knicks go for Triple J? JG, who? I'm like Jaren Jackson Jr.
Who? Nah, I don't think they need that.
If they do not win the title, as an off-season Giannis fallback plan, you better believe they're going to be picking up that phone.
And for Jared Jackson Jr.?
There's organizational ties. There's West ties. His dad was the Westchester
basketball
coach.
Ties. If you don't care about rebounding like that anymore.
I'll say this for, our guys, Julius and now Kat, always get brought up in the most frustrating basketball players in the league discussion. Triple J is definitely as part of that conversation with how much he fouls and, mostly it's how much he fouls.
Rebounding. He's a great player. He's a great player, but yeah. I feel like everybody, and we have this conversation, I feel like everybody has something that annoys you about a player, but it's like, you're trading one annoyance for another. You got to make sure that the annoyance isn't, you're not compounding your annoyance or it's worth that move. So,
you know what we're doing? I don't know when we're going to do it. Maybe around when the All-Star team comes out, we're going to do, I shouldn't even say this out loud. I don't want someone to steal this, but we're going to do our all frustrating team. all NBA. We could probably get to 3 5-man.
Oh, yeah.
Easily, you know, because we talk about him on the show all the time. So that'll be a fun bit to do. Okay, Dominic, I'm not reading that chat, but that's great stuff, Dominic. Okay, that's it. I said today was going to be a little bit of a shorter episode. We've already run longer than we intended to. I will say thank you to everybody for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. Another reminder, please, if you dig the show, if you like what we're doing here, you know, even if it's a retweet of a clip, if it's anything, if it's, you know, watch a short and like it, anything you do to help people find out about the show, because we are trying to, you know, continue to get ourselves out there. Jeff, anything before we get out of here?
Nah, man, it was a fun time. Always a great time. Thank y'all for tapping in with us. And like I said, if you like what you hear and share it with other people, subscribe and keep connecting, because we're growing this thing day by day, and it's been a lot of fantastic content coming out, and we got much more in store.
The fun is just beginning. We will be back with you for a fresh show on Monday. Jeff, it was great. Good seeing you. Great to see everybody out there. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you soon. Peace out.